Moncrief on News Talk.
SETI, the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, is still listening to the cosmos in the hope of finding something that could be a message or an indication of life. But even random sounds can be misinterpreted, which is why, for the first time in 16 years, it's updated its guidelines. Mike Garrett is the chair of the International SETI Committee. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon.
Now, before we get to the protocols, I suppose a lot of people still might have the idea that SETI is just listening for radio signals. You're searching for more than that, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, we're searching for whatever we can get, to be quite honest. So radio is still a big part of it, but we're doing searches in other parts of the spectrum, in the optical, which the kind of light we can see with our eyes, but also the mid-infrared, for example, waste heat from advanced civilizations, even in the millimeter part of the spectrum. So, yeah, we're trying to cover all possible bases.
Okay, so it's not, if you like, just communication you're looking for. It's evidence that something might be happening in some quadrant of the universe.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's looking for anything that doesn't really have a natural explanation. So objects that just look a bit peculiar. It doesn't have to be communication signals. Communication signals would be great because they're such an obvious indicator of this being produced by technology. But we're also looking for what are maybe more subtle effects, like the waste heat that I mentioned before.
Yeah, but the waste heat would mean that there's an industrial civilization. Would that be what one could infer from that?
It doesn't have to be industrial in the sense that we think of it, but it just has to be a civilization that's using a lot of energy. Because, you know, when you use a lot of energy, you'll notice if you're playing games on your computer or your laptop or your phone, it heats up. So if you're doing a lot of computing or a lot of work and using a lot of energy, you always, no matter what you do, you always produce a lot of waste heat energy as a byproduct of that.
Yeah. No, and the thing, I suppose, as you said, you're looking for something that might be slightly out of the ordinary. Is it possible to even say what's out of the ordinary, given that the universe is such a big place and there's so many possibilities within it?
I think we have to be absolutely open to everything that we can think of. I mean, we're kind of restricted by our own ideas about physics. And obviously there's more physics than we know. So we're kind of constrained by, you know, our own understanding of physics and astronomy, etc. But we are trying to think out of the box, and we are trying to, you know, do things that are maybe a little bit kind of out there, so that, you know, we're not too restrictive, because I think it's pretty clear that it's not an easy thing to do, detect a signal. So you have to be as open as possible to all sorts of different kind of possible ways of doing this.
And what's the procedure then, Mike? If somebody detects something, they think, that's odd. What happens at that point?
Well, that's why we've kind of renewed these, what we call the SETI declaration, or more colloquially, the SETI protocols. It's to give someone who finds themselves in that position, because, you know, it's likely to be some astronomer who's looking for something else, just doing normal astronomy, and then just happens upon this really weird thing. And then kind of works out that, you know, this is not natural, this is something else. So the guidelines that we've just produced are kind of in place to help people understand that, you know, this is a big thing, first of all, that people, you know, will find this interesting. It's not just, you know, have impact scientifically, but, you know, publicly to the general public. So we've got a kind of set of guidelines that we would hope would at least be useful input if someone found themselves in that position.
I would imagine one of those guidelines are, if you find something that's unusual, don't make Instagram be your first port of call to tell people about it.
I mean, Instagram's fine, but you had better be sure that, you know, you're not crying wolf or crying alien, as someone else said. You really want verification, I think, is a really important part of this. We don't want to claim stuff that, you know, isn't real. It was, you know, Carl Sagan once said, you know, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. He said that back in the 70s, and I think it still applies today.
Yeah. So if somebody finds something, describe the verification process. I'm assuming this can take some time.
It sort of depends on the signal. If it's one of the communication signals that you talked about, it's probably a bit easier. But if it's one of these more subtle signatures, you'd really need to look at the data. You need to analyze almost every bit of the data to be absolutely sure that you haven't introduced something into the data by, you know, poor calibration or a bad analysis pipeline or whatever. So I think internally you would do what you would do with any discovery, is you'd make sure that, you know, you were absolutely certain that you hadn't, you know, done something wrong. And, you know, if you still felt, well, this is, you know, really good evidence of, you know, extraterrestrial intelligence, then you'd kind of go out and ask, you know, other people to basically verify what you've observed using, you know, a different telescope with a different set of software, different people doing the analysis with a different perspective. I think before you start announcing it on Instagram.
Mm. Now, but when you say ask other people, is there a protocol around that? Are there, you know, a list of people one should ask, or do you just ask your mate Tom, who also happens to be an astronomer?
It could be that, for example, you know, someone that you think is, you know, an expert and maybe even more expert than you are, for example. It could be a friend that you actually know. It could be someone who's part of this SETI committee that I'm chairing at the moment. You know, we have about 100 members, and there's another 100 people that probably, you know, come to our meetings and know about what we do. So there's a sort of community there, you know, people that are operating telescopes or have access to telescopes and data and computing, that, you know, are potentially the people that would, you know, verify that signal.
Yeah. And the fact that you've issued new protocols, is this because of social media? Have there been instances where people, were perhaps a bit too quick off the mark in announcing discoveries?
Yeah, social media is a big factor. The protocols were from 2010, so 15 years ago, before, just at the point social media was beginning to take off. But I think it's a different beast now than it was 15 years ago. So that's been, you know, a really big aspect of it. And the fact that, you know, we're living in a different period where there's a lot of fake news. And now with AI, there's sort of deep fake images and misinformation, and, you know, just all of these things, as you know, social media has had an impact. And so we felt that we needed to tighten that up a bit in the new protocols.
Yeah, so to a degree it's advisable to be very circumspect about this for quite some time if you've made a discovery and then others analyze that discovery, and perhaps keep it to yourself.
I think you have to keep it to yourself until you're absolutely sure. I mean, because you have your own reputation to think about, you know. You don't want to, and I mean, people have in the past, you know, as you kind of mentioned, that people have been a bit quick off the mark sometimes to say they've discovered something when, you know, greater scrutiny shows that actually it's nothing. It's just a natural phenomena, or it's been misinterpreted. So I think you have to be careful, but I mean, I know that the community wants to be as transparent as possible. They don't want to cry wolf all the time, but they do, if they do make a detection, they want to get it out there into the public domain once they're absolutely sure it's the real thing.
And can this be amateur astronomers who might find something anomalous?
Well, I mean, amateur astronomy, it somehow should have a better name, because amateur astronomers do an awful lot of good work and, you know, look at the sky and almost certainly know the sky much better than a professional astronomer does, like myself. I can tell you that. So I think there is, you know, potentially a role there for amateur astronomers. Absolutely no doubt about that.
And if in the scenario where somebody discovers something, it's been checked and rechecked, and you're as certain as you can be that you found some sort of evidence, is there an official procedure then, or do you just put out a press release?
Well, I think a couple of things would happen in parallel. I mean, you would be developing the scientific paper, or probably papers, because there would be verification papers as well. You'd be preparing those papers. At the same time, I think you'd be making the first contact with the United Nations to inform that. And you'd probably also be talking to, you know, your employer, whether it's a university or some kind of other observatory or organization. So I think at that point, you know, you're doing a few things in parallel in order to begin to, you know, to reach out towards, you know, the broader sort of general public.
Yeah. Even if that does happen, given the gigantic distances involved, the possibility of sending a hello to these beings, that's still pretty remote, or it might take centuries to happen.
Well, I mean, you could do it. You could send a hello, but as you say, they're so far away, it'll take a long while to reach them, depending how far away they are. But, you know, it's also possible that, you know, it's very likely if there are other civilizations out there, they're much more advanced than we are. Because, you know, we've only just started on all of this. We've only really been a technical civilization using radio waves for 100 years. So, you know, other civilizations are probably way ahead of us. They might even know that we are there, or that at least some kind of intelligent life is on the planet. They might not know it's a technical civilization, because that's a recent development. The information hasn't traveled that far. It may take contact is unfortunately very difficult, because the universe and even our own galaxy is just so big.
Yeah, indeed. They probably have their own protocols as well. So they're probably rechecking their information. Mike Garrett is chair of the International Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Committee. Mike, thank you very much.
Thank you. Pleasure.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.